You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And welcome to the front line. This is David Francoeur. I'm one of your hosts, but I'm blessed to have two others. And God is so rich. Yes, it wasn't. I don't have to do it alone. I've got two other wonderful Christians to serve in this. Ed Skiba.
Good morning.
Good David. Morning.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It is.
I was over in Publix and I heard two young girls talking, and one of them said, "Boy, your skin is so nice." She said, "I take milk baths." She said, "Milk baths? Really?" She said, "Pasteurized?" She said, "No, just up to my chin."
Yeah, right. Okay, that's it. Our one-liner.
Oh, my gosh.
One-liner ministry there. Thank you, Ed, for that. And Ann Lomhoko, thank you for being here.
Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. In it. Oh, truly.
Amen. Happy to be here.
Truly, it is a day to be glad in. And
absolutely.
We've been off. We have been not broadcasting here because the station has been in its fundraiser, the fall prayer and share, and trying to raise some money against the storm and a few other
Amen.
Issues that...
fighting kinda, some of the damage.
Yeah really. But the Lord blessed us with able to get close to our goal, not as close as we'd like, but God will provide. He always does. But today we have with us two wonderful individuals who are working in the vineyard.
Yes.
We're all in a vineyard, but it's a big vineyard. So we get a chance right here at the front line to bring in vineyard workers and hear what they're doing. And Seth Ray, the founder, if I'm correct, you may use that of... Yeah. Go Build Love, which is a great ministry that brings clean water to people that otherwise wouldn't have access to it.
That's right.
Amen. And Natalie Evans, who, what's your official title, Nat?
Well, I'm on board with Seth as Director of Development.
Great.
Okay, good.
Great, thank you. So Natalie and Seth, I'm glad to have you with us. And Anne, you all go to Revive.
Yes,
Church.
We do.
Oh, great.
Really a live congregation here in Stuart.
Yeah, amen.
So because Ann kind of introduced you all, I'm going to ask Ann to kick off the interview.
Well, I'm very, very honored to be joined by Seth Ray and Natalie, who we go to church with. We serve at Revive Church, and it's just a blessing. I love the family of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Lord is the one who brings the guests. I really do. We pray for who the Lord wants on this
Amen.
Program, and I do believe that the both of you are supposed to be on here today.
Awesome.
So thank you for coming. Thank you for what you do at Go Build Love. So I just want to start off, Seth, your story of how the Lord brought you to start Go Build Love.
Yeah.
I know it started with a missions trip. Is that correct?
It started with a missions trip.
So let's go and let's tell our listeners how the Lord brought this to you, because it's such a beautiful story of God's faithfulness. And what it also speaks to is when you have a passion the Lord gives you, you trust the Lord to bring it about.
Yeah.
No matter if things look Amen. Impossible, which impossible is not even the language we should use in the Christian realm,
right.
but things look like it's not going to happen. You know, you have a wife and four kids, and you have to support the family.
Yeah.
And you came from a very lucrative, profitable career, and the Lord now has you running a nonprofit, and also you also run Rock and Water as well, right?
Yeah.
So let's just have our readers listen to your story,
if you
could please start.
Well, first and foremost, just want to thank you for having us today. Mm-hmm. Super
Absolutely.
Honored that we even have we love an opportunity to share a story whenever we get an opportunity to share a story. So thank you for having us. We're super excited to be here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like... Really kind of the way that Go Build Love started, really started all the way back in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I had just moved here from Northern Indiana, where I was a PGA golf professional, living that life and loved that life. Moved to South Florida to work with the PGA of America. And the first couple of years, we went from like being like this crazy, crazy busy family working in the golf industry, and if anybody knows what that looks like for a golf pro, it's like basically sun up to sundown 7 days a week.
Yeah.
and you wait for bad weather so that you could see your family. That was kind of our life.
Yeah.
So when we moved to South Florida, which my role with the PGA was just completely different. And so it was kind of funny. My wife and I always joked around the first 6 months, we were like getting to know each other all over again. And we eventually found a church home after we moved here, which we were super excited about. Mm-hmm. And through our church home, we were able to connect with some just amazing, amazing people. Specifically just a group of men who love the Lord, mm-hmm. Who was like-minded in a lot of ways. And anybody that knows me knows that I just like to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And so all of these guys that I got to know, like all the same, like love to goof around, love to have fun. And so I got invited on this trip to Haiti with this group of guys. There was 17 of us total.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, I had never been out of the country. I had never seen poverty.
Mm.
Again, the world that I lived in was like pretty sheltered, and we were very, very blessed as a family, even where I grew up, very blessed. And so never seen any of those things. We land in the airport, land in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, walked out of the airport. And if you've ever been there, anybody that's been there will know exactly what I'm talking about. The smell and the sound of it is something that you'll never forget. And so we worked for an entire week with a group of guys, and all we did, I'm not even exaggerating, our job for the entire week was to make a mess. There was a special needs dorm that we were told to demo, and that's what we did all week long.
Oh.
And so we made a mess, and we had a great time.
Guys
doing
like
it.
That.
We
like, break stuff down.
We
you
just
know?
There was no yeah. there was no yeah, skill man. Involved. But what happened at the end of that trip? we were asked if we were interested in going and seeing a different part of Port-au-Prince. And so, little history around Port-au-Prince. 2010, there was a terrible earthquake that hit. Hundreds of thousands of people died. And then several years even after that, many of those people who were displaced were still living in tent cities all over Port-au-Prince.
Wow.
And so we were asked if we wanted to go and kind of tour a little bit of the city. We went into an area called City Soleil. City Soleil, at the time, probably even more so now, was considered like one of the most dangerous places in the world.
Mm.
So it was kind of one of those places like you go in, you might not come out. And I was questioning why we were even there after hearing a little bit of that information. So we went into the city, into this smaller community, 17 guys walking around with a couple local pastors. He's given us a tour, and one of the things that we did is we walked through one of those tent cities. And as we're walking, of course, you're like dumbfounded on how anyone could live in a place like this, let alone for a few days or a week, but it's been years for many of these people. And so, but there was this little girl. She had to have been maybe two years old, maybe not even that old. And the grandmother, an older woman, was sweeping the floor, which was just dirt. And these two people caught my eye as we were walking through this little tent village. So we walk out about to the main city. We're kind of waiting for everybody to gather. And one of the guys was asked, so one of the guys, there was a woman who was leading a ministry in Haiti. Her name was Miriam. Very godly woman, amazing. She was with us as well. An older woman. Like she was, I think at the time, she was probably in her late 60s, early 70s even. And so as we're walking through the community, everybody's like, where's Miriam? Where's Miriam? And then a few minutes later, she comes walking out, both with that little girl and that grandmother. So she walks up to kind of the group. She's holding the little girl, and basically she's just like, somebody give me water, somebody give me some food. And so I'm kind of like in awe of like what's happening right now. And so she grabs this bottle, somebody gives her a bottle of water. She takes the bottle of water, pours it into the grandmother's mouth, pours water on her chest, rubs her chest, and then does the same for the little girl. And I was just like, dumbfounded. Like I was overwhelmed by the moment. And like I was so like in the moment that like nobody, I didn't think to like take a picture. I didn't take pictures of that entire day, but a lot of the other guys were. And I actually have photos from, because everybody like, you know, dropped all those photos into like a, you know, like a Dropbox or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can go back and look at these photos that everybody was taking pictures of this moment. And if you look through Miriam, this older woman and this little girl, if you look to the other side and you look at the faces of the guys that were there, all of them were just kind of wrecked by it.
Sure.
Wow. And it wasn't until that night that that I had some time to like process it, that I realized something in my own heart, that I was actually, I would have never done what Miriam had done that day. I would have, and to this day, I feel a little bit of shame around this, but like, I would have never bothered that woman, first and foremost. Like, I wouldn't have bothered her. Secondly, I wouldn't have thought to touch her the way that Miriam was touching her. And it was out of like pure love for this woman, right? Like, she didn't know her, but she just loved her. And it was, that was the first time in my life, I got saved when I was 15, 16 years old. That was the first time in my life where I finally understood what being the hands and feet of Jesus actually meant. That stuck with me. And so when we got back from that trip, again, we had a great time, lots of fun, got to do some awesome stuff, got to hang out with some amazing people. But it was after that trip that, like, in my heart, I vowed that I was just going to keep going back. So, like, anytime there was an opportunity to go back, I went. Anytime there was a trip that somebody was leading, I'd go. And so I just kept going. I would use up my vacation to go. And I just didn't care. And I just fell in love with just being there. And so one of those trips that happened, this was probably 2015. Up until like 2015, 16, I'd probably been there 10 to 12 times. Like, I went quite a bit.
The same place, right?
Same place, the exact same place.
Okay.
And so when we were there, we had this pastor who wanted to take and show us this place just outside the city, Port-au-Prince. It was called Little Africa. And if you go on our website, you can actually see like the picture and the story. But basically, what he showed us was what he called the plywood school. And it was called the plywood school because after the earthquake, the school had fallen apart and the community had rebuilt it with like reclaimed plywood. Like, that's just what they could find. But next to that school was a well, and the well had chains around it. And so, again, up until this point, I had been there, you know, at least a dozen times. So, but never until this moment did I even know that there was people in the world who had to fight to find water. I had no clue. And so I asked the principal of this little tiny school why there was chains on the well. And he was like, it's broken. And I'm like, oh, well, what would it cost to fix something like that? Of course, I have no clue. And he goes, I don't know, maybe $100 US. I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like a whole lot. And he and I said, well, how many people use this well? And he goes, about 2,000 people. And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. So the guys that were with me, I'm like, give me $20, give me 20 bucks, give me 20 bucks. And I'm a high trust person. So I'm like, yeah, here's the $20 or here's the $100. Go fix this thing. When we got back to where we were staying that night, the Lord was like, the Lord laid on my heart, hey, I want you to go and rebuild that. I want you to rebuild that school. I'm not a construction guy. I'm a golf pro. Like, that's what I chase a little ball with a crooked stick. Like, that's what I did. And so,
Haven't heard that before.
Yeah, not a construction guy. And so, but I had some friends who were. And so I was, so I had this idea. I was like, all right, I got to figure out how to get back there to rebuild this little school. And while we were there, the Lord kind of painted a picture of what it could be and what it could look like.
Before you go any further, let's take a break.
Let's do it.
We're about at that break point, and we'll be right back. And folks, remember, our breaks aren't long. So
don't go too far.
Don't go too far. We'll be back.
Cry Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to The Front Line, and today we are interviewing Seth Ray, the founder of Go Build Love, a ministry that brings clean water to people that otherwise wouldn't have it, and Natalie Evans, who's the Director of Development.
Yes.
I get that
yes.
right? Why, my memory's improving. Praise God. The prayers are working. All right, hallelujah. So continue where you were before the break, Seth.
Yeah, so just like a really quick recap, and never been out of the country, never seen poverty, was taken to this place outside of Port-au-Prince to where this school and this well was. So we give the principal of the school the $100 to repair the well. And when I got back from that trip, the missions director at the church that we were at was like, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you lead a men's trip back in a couple of months? And I was like, absolutely. But I get to pick who comes and I get to pick the project. And she was like,
smart.
And she goes, that's fine. She's like, that's fine, but you have to do the fundraising for it. And I'm like, that's a deal. Like, I've never done fundraising before, but I'll do it. So I recruited 9 guys, and with them and a couple other people, we were able to raise the money that we needed to rebuild that school. So when we went back, it was just a few months later, we went back. And this was in February of 2017 when this happened. We went back, we rebuilt that school in 4 days, and that well was fixed. But this was the thing that like kind of blew me away, was that while we were there, the number of that people that came and used that well, like when that principal said about 2,000 people use it, use that as like their source of water, he wasn't joking. Like, there was no exaggeration in that. Like, I can only imagine how many people actually came and visited that well. And not just people who were like coming to fill jerry cans for themselves and their families, but like farmers who would like bring, you know, 10 head of cattle with them to bring so that they can, he could water his cattle there as well. So it was mind blowing to me. And so we get back from that trip. It was an amazing trip. Awesome. And we get back from that trip, and I was headed to work one morning, and the Lord literally laid this idea of like, what if we were to build stronger communities on top of water? That was kind of like the phrase that was kind of thrown in my heart. And so I was like, I don't really know what that means. But then the more that I kind of leaned into it, prayed about it, it was like, no, we're going to use the gift of clean water to help develop communities that that the Lord calls us to. So I sat on this idea for, I don't know, it was probably a few weeks. And I was like, okay, the litmus test of like whether or not this is like a good thing is my wife. And so
I
was,
I hear that, brother. I hear that.
So I always joke around. I always joke around that like my wife Missy was like the dream crusher, right? So I'm like the big dream visionary, And so and she would always come back with like, no, that's nuts. That's a terrible idea. And so I remember we were sitting on the back porch early in one morning. And I said, hey, this has been in my heart for like a good couple of weeks. I have this idea. Let me share this idea with you. And she's like, after I shared it, she's like, yeah, you should probably do that.
Wow.
And I'm like, come on. So so I went and I talked to a few other, you know, seeking wise counsel, right? And so yeah, basically that was like the birth of Go Build Love. And where the name came from was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. I had another name for it, and the Lord was like, that's a stupid name. Literally, like, in the middle of the night. It was in the middle of the night, and I was working on, like, getting all of, like, the 501c3 set up, right? And so the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and was like, that's a stupid name. Like, I'm like, okay, it's a stupid name. We'll come up with something different. So we officially started, established Go Build Love in 2018. And the whole purpose of what we do is really just to do good different. We look to do good different. There's, if you scour the internet, yes, there's lots and lots of water organizations out there, and they're all wonderful, all doing some incredible things.
Yeah.
But our desire was to, like, not be like every other one of them. And so that's one of the things. The second part of it is, like, our goal is to make Jesus known.
Amen.
And we won't, like, there's lots, the actual water need is overwhelming in the world. Like, 1 out of 10 people around the world don't have access to clean water. And there's a lot that goes into that, but, like, 1 out of 10 people, which isn't crazy, but the crazier number is 1 out of 3 people don't know Jesus around the world.
Amen.
Wow. So, when you put that together, that means that 10,000 people a day die from dirty water, and a third of those people have never heard Jesus. They don't know who he is. So we put those, when you put those two together, we have an incredible tool to not only share the gospel in clean water, but we have an incredible tool to share the gospel, but it's also an incredible way to disciple other people, train people to make disciples, plant what we call a missional community with the hopes that it bursts into like a full-fledged church.
Yes.
And then our responsibility is really to prove what we do along the way. And so, like, that's like the three main components of who we are. So do good different, make Jesus known, and prove it along the way.
I'm curious and that's the foundational premise of how Go Build Love works. But in practical terms, how do you move into a community? How do you make those connections?
Yeah.
And then how do you set up the mechanism for clean water?
Sure. So I have to say that we do not have it all figured out. We have failed a lot. a lot, and have learned different ways to do different things. So by no means have we arrived in any way, shape, or form. But basically what we do is we do everything in our power to work alongside local people in small communities that are otherwise marginalized and forgotten. And so when we start working in, whether it's a new country or a new region, we are relying fully on people who already live there. It's not like we're a bunch of Americans who got in on an airplane, flew in another country, and then, like, hey, we're here to impose our ideas and our thoughts because you need us. No, it's like, hey, we're here to help, like, train and resource you so that you can go and impact your community. And we've seen some, like, really awesome, incredible fruit from that.
And you're able to see and assess, you know, exactly who you need to go and minister to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
What means do you provide the clean water, though? I mean, do they have local wells that are...
The water filters?
Yeah. Water filters?
The
buckets.
How
do you do that?
Yeah, so we like, kind of to give you idea of, like, our whole process is before we do any work, before we make any promises, before we establish anything, we do an assessment. And we work alongside with local people to do that assessment. A lot of times we'll go house to house to house in a community to get, like, the full picture. We want to know exactly how many people live in the community, how many homes are there. Where do they get their water from? What does that look like? What does health look like? Do people get sick from the water that they drink? Is there schools? Is there clinics in the area? And then we ask them, like, hey, if you were to wave a wand over your community, what would that look? What would it look like? What would you, if you were to say, this is the thing that would make the biggest difference, what would that be? And not always, but we try to do whatever we can to do that. So we primarily, we don't hold to any one specific technology or method when it comes to giving someone clean water. But primarily what we do is we use a small bucket filter. It's easy to assemble. It's portable, it's affordable. And what's my favorite thing about it is that it will last a family 20 years if they take care of it.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
So, yeah. So wow. For $50, for $50, not only do we give someone clean water, but we also support a local minister, missionary, to do that work for that family. So we always do, in that is the distribution. We collect data on all that, and we do three follow-ups, and we collect data on all of that.
And the data is in the bucket, right?
It's on the filter. On the filter.
Isn't that phenomenal?
It's actually uploaded to our website, so it's real time. You can actually go on our website.
That's brilliant.
Information. Yeah. A photo of the family.
Yeah, photo of the family, you know, the GPS location of where it goes.
Wow.
And what we've done, we have some really awesome people that have helped us do this, but one of the things that we've been able to do is, again, the third thing of our mission is, like, we want to prove what we do. So we're able to connect our donor to the family, the recipient family. So what we have, so every time we scan the QR code or the barcode that is on that filter, not only do we take a photo of the family, but we give a we get a photo of the family and the GPS location of where that filter is, but then we are able to give our donor we'll get an email or a text message with that same data. And every time we follow, and they're forever connected to that family. So if, like, Anne is a recipient of, let's just say it's Natalie's family that lives in La Coupe, Haiti, every time we go to scan that barcode, Anne is going to get a text message and an email
feedback
that says, hey, we followed up on this family today with a new photo. So that happens every single time.
Now, I'm assuming that once a family gets a filter and begins enjoying clean water, they're going to put the word out. And is that
the village will know? The village will know.
So, and you really, it's part of the event. It's getting people in the evangelistic approach. You're able at some point to share Christ with them, but first you're sharing clean water. And if you have clean water and I don't, I want to know more about this clean water.
Right.
And that's exactly what.
So does this happen? The replication process in a village, let's say.
So it's incredible when. And this is where you learn to do it different later on. You know, there was one particular situation where we started with a large community at the base of a kind of a small mountain. And you know, so everybody that lives on that mountain has to go through this first community that we worked in. And so, you know, everybody's like, when are they coming to ours? When are you guys coming to serve our community? And realizing that we need to go all the way up the mountain. So now what we do is we start at the top and we work our way down.
That's a good idea.
Makes good sense, yes. That's cool. We're going to have to take a break in about a minute. So I don't want to dig too deep in something. But
I just want to add this part. This is something that that we've added into kind of the process that we do over probably the last year and a half, almost 2 years. Is when we do that assessment, we are looking for what we call 3M people. And what we call a 3M people, a person, is someone who, one, not only accepts us as the mission or as the messenger, but us as the, but also our message and then the mission as well. So we're looking for people who are kind of adhere to those three things. And we bring them close into, because we want to use those local people that live in that community to be a part of the transformation that's going to happen in their community. So we spend at least 5 weeks training that group of people. Our team will spend 5 weeks training that group of people how to share their faith, how to disciple someone, how to collect data on the filter, how to troubleshoot the filter, how to distribute the filter, how to follow up on the filter. And then they are a part of that process as we work in that community. And we won't go into a community unless we know and that we've had the funding to give every single person in that community a filter.
Amen. Let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Re- Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Welcome back to the Frontline, production WCNO Christian Radio, 89.9 FM on your dial. Glad you're listening in this morning. We have Seth Ray, the founder of Go Build Love, a ministry that brings clean water so that to people that can't get it otherwise, and the opportunity to meet the God who made the water, Jesus.
That's right.
And I think that's powerful.
I like how you
stuff.
Put that.
I also want to say before I turn it back over to Seth that you can call in if you have a question or a comment. 772-221-1100 is the number. 772-221-1100. We do have someone here, I hope, who can answer the phone for us. With that, Seth, let's pick up where you were when we took the break.
Yeah, so like I was saying, we do everything in our power to work alongside with people who are local into the community. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, we've failed in a lot of ways. And so this was one of the things that we've learned. And so by the grace of God, right before COVID hit, we had spent, this is kind of where this idea all came from. Right before COVID hit, mm-hmm. we had done a multi-day training, discipleship training, teaching folks how to share their faith. And this was in Haiti, but like if you know Haitian culture, mm-hmm. voodoo is it's a dark place just in mm-hmm. general. It's a dark place.
Absolutely.
And so so a lot of the things that we're teaching were very foreign to people who are a part of our team who are believers. Mm. And so we spent several days training a group of people, our team there, and of course COVID hit, we were able to visit, I think maybe a few more times after that. Mm-hmm. But since all of the crazy and unrest that has gone on over the last 2 years, we've only been able to go back one time. But here's the incredible thing is since that training, we went from one team to three teams and four teams in different parts of the country. Yep. And we've not had to do any of that. It's been all because of the investment that we made with that core group of people.
Amen. And the Lord multiplied
and
it.
And they've multiplied it. Yeah. They have done all of that. And we've
foresight.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And so and that was we didn't have that foresight. It was just
God does.
Yeah. He was like, all right, we're gonna do this.
And even as the country is in rest in Haiti, this ministry is still continuing because of that.
We've not stopped working.
You know, Seth, you mentioned a few times that you feel like there many times we failed.
Yeah.
When we were in Uganda, I was sent over there initially to set up a trade school and to run it. Well, it fell apart.
Yeah.
Because all the money had been eaten by some people that were unethical. Mm. And it fell apart. So I told my supporters back here, I said, I feel like I failed. They said, no, you haven't. You're still there. Think about that.
Yeah.
You may think you failed a few times, but Thomas Edison, 2,000 times.
Right.
Yeah,
you tried
right.
to invent the light bulb. You haven't failed.
Yeah.
You're going strong. You're still there.
Yeah.
You learn every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've learned a lot.
I'll bet you
have. Amen.
So now, where are you exactly? Like what different parts of the world?
Yep. So when we started GBL, I was like, we're only going to be in Haiti. That's where my heart is. Like if somebody were to say, hey, if you were going to move any place in the world, where would it be? I would tell you like we're going to Haiti. I love it. I love it there. I love the people there. Mm-hmm. I love everything about it. So that's really kind of where I thought we would always be. And then little by little, the Lord has just kind of opened the door. So from there, we started working in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Have a crazy story about how we got working there. If we have time, I'd love to share it. And then from there, started working in the Dominican Republic. We've done some work in Uganda as well.
Mm-hmm.
Malawi. This year, we started working in Honduras.
Mm.
Like
Dominican.
I said, the Dominican Republic. Yep. So we So like right now, where we are most active is Haiti, DR, Honduras, Guatemala, and Malawi. That's where we're most active now.
Right. Wow.
But we've done projects in 11 different countries, and I've lost count of how many communities total.
Yeah. Praise God.
I want to hear about Guatemala because you said you had a story.
I have a story.
Before you do that, tell people how they can find out more about Go Build Love.
Yeah.
And you have a website.
We have a website. Yeah. So super easy. It's just Go Build Love, all three words all together. GoBuildLove.org is our website. Mm-hmm. Feel free to check it out. Tell us what you think about it. But yeah, there's a floating donate page button that kind of floats around as you move around the website. So like I said before, $50, just $50, is enough money to not only employ someone, but it gives a family clean water for 20 years.
Wow.
That's $50 a month.
$50 gift.
$150
gift will give someone clean water for 20 years.
Wow.
An entire family.
So, like if you need to break that down over the course of several months, that's great. But yeah, just $50. It's one of the things that we're super proud about is like we're a small organization.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I'm super proud of is that our ability to do a lot of good with what we've been given. And we're super transparent in all of it. Want to make sure that, again, the prove it thing is a big part of what we do. We want people to know that like we're on the up and up, and we say what we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. Yeah. And so that's been a big part of it. We've built that all into our website. So,
and I would encourage people to be prayerful about about not praying for Go Build Love, because doesn't cost you anything except time. But how God answers prayer, we know this, and the more people out there doing the work of the Lord in what I'm going to call dicey locations where life is edgy, and where the something simple that we have every day, opening up the tap and getting water, and they don't have that, and the water they can get will eventually kill them. But here's an opportunity to fund the people of God, or first of all, bringing clean water in, but also bringing Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you're a believer, that's a win-win.
Amen.
And
amen.
Just to consider being prayerful, let God tell you what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
As we say here in this ministry, applies to everything else. Ask God if he wants you to not just give time and prayer, but give some of the resources. Obviously, the local church gets your tithe, but there's also offerings, and those can go wherever God tells you to send them.
Yeah,
and this I'm going to say it, tremendously important ministry.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
because it's like fundamental.
Yes,
it is.
It's like life giving.
Yeah,
food and water.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you don't have those and you have everything else, you're going to die.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Let's get back. You said you had a Guatemalan story.
I want to hear Guatemala. So one of the things that I mentioned earlier was that when we have an opportunity to work with a community on how we can further to develop that community beyond just clean water, we try to figure out how to do that. And so several years ago, right as we were starting to work in Guatemala, we had this gentleman who's from Guatemala, had spent quite a bit of time in West Palm area, had a small business, moved back, was going back and forth, but he had inherited this large piece of land from his dad, and it was in an area that he didn't necessarily want to live at, but he wanted to do some good with. And so he started an organization, had dreams of building a school and a clinic and a hospital and all kinds of stuff. And he just for years and years and years just kept hitting roadblock after roadblock, could not get the funding to get the thing rolling. And so I sat, and he had plans all drawn out and everything, and I thought it was so great. And I was like, we're going to use clean water, and then once we start that, the Lord's going to open the door, and we're just going to build something. I don't know what we'll build, but we'll build something. And when we build something, people will see what's happening here, and then it'll go from there. So just the most incredible thing. So we had a friend, and he was just like, hey, I hear that you're trying to build this big school and clinic in Guatemala. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. And he goes, I need to meet someone. I'm like, okay. So this young girl, she had just graduated from high school. Awesome story. We did a YouTube video on it, like just kind of like a little mini documentary on the story. But this young girl she showed pigs. Like all through high school, it was kind of like her thing.
Wow. Okay. And
that's kind of interesting.
4-H thing, yeah.
4-H, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was her family's custom to, in their senior year, to kind of bid a little above and beyond like what a normal pig would go for.
Right.
Well, this particular pig, went for $110,000.
What?
What?
$110,000.
I need to be in the pig business.
So,
I just don't understand why that pig costs so much, but that's
a very expensive pig.
Yes. Yeah. The best bacon you've ever had, I'm sure. So they, again, this was a gift from her family, and she wanted to do good with it. She didn't want it for herself.
Wow.
So she gave, of that $110,000, she gave GBL $82,000 of it.
Wow.
And so with that $82,000, we were able to give an entire community the gift of clean water. We built a school. Mm. We built a dental clinic. We drilled a well, and just recently launched a new team that's working in that region. And so all because of a little pig.
Yeah.
All because of a little pig.
The Lord opens doors.
The Lord will just open doors.
Wow. And will.
And so we're looking forward to this coming, you know, trip season, taking some teams there so that they get to be a part of what's going on there, because it's
great.
It is mind blowing.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. That is. And that's God.
That's God.
That's how our God works.
And that's a fun story, but honestly, we have dozens and dozens of similar stories.
Wow.
Yeah, the Lord has been so good to us.
That's awesome.
You can tell when you're within God's will.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
He'll continue to open doors. One story I want Seth to go into is how you started Go Build Love, the seed money.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the break, so.
Okay. Maybe right after the break, but I want to tease the audience and come back for that story.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take the break. Whoops.
Oh, we got a call.
Got a call.
Uh-oh. Should I take the call?
Incoming.
Yep.
There you go.
Hello, WCNO.
Hi, I'm on hold for a guy that doesn't water.
You're talking.
You're actually in the studio. Go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, great. I use a 1 micron Whirlpool filter, charcoal, in the city I live in, Florida. Mm-hmm. The chlorine and particulates are so bad.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to last 60,000 gallons. I got a whole house filter on, just two people. You buy it, it blows.
Yeah.
And then you buy the extra filter that takes out. I didn't know that. Charcoal is the only filter that takes out chlorine.
Right.
It dumps so much, and it just rots the pipes.
Yeah.
And gets your cat's liver, kills the cat, she's sick, you're making coffee, it's absorbing in your skin when you take a shower.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, we don't put that much chlorine in, oh, we only take a pool tester. And you want to drink that?
Yeah, right.
So you pay a little bit more, and I also have some friends at Missionary Flights International Fort Pierce. We're to Haiti.
Yeah, we work with them.
I took up with these guys at all and get some of those over to help them, girls' schools that they support and stuff like that.
We work with them a lot, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
We do,
great.
Yeah. So quick story about how good the filter that we use works. We actually, we have a little frozen treat shop that we use to kind of help.
Rock and Water
that we try to help fund some of our projects. And we had a woman, we have a filter that was in the shop that we were kind of letting people see how it works. And the water is disgusting. Like, we make it disgusting, put dirt and all kinds of stuff in it. And it's kind of like a magic trick, right? Like, the water is really dirty, but it comes out clear. And then we'll drink it in front of people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we had a woman that was in the store, and she just could not believe it. And after, she was like, hey, is it okay if I like fill up my bottle with this water? And I thought it was a little odd, but we're like, yeah, go ahead. Well, she comes back a few days later, and she's like, I just want you to know, I took your filtered water and the water from my house and went and had it tested. The water that came from the filter was way, way better, tested way, way better than the water from the house.
Yes.
So this little filter is incredible.
It filters, 99.9% of E. coli, parasites.
All of it,
I was going to ask you about
better water than
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And it's frustrating because you're like, why is this filter in my refrigerator never lasts. Like, why do I have to change this thing so often?
Really? Well, now they clog. I've had mine only last a month, and I brought it to the health department.
I thought they got these clogged mucus
stuff on it. Oh, it's just a natural, it's so microfine that that's why it feels greasy. You know, let's look like they give you a run around.
They're just
hiding the truth. It's just disgusting.
Last
60,000 gallons or 6 months. I didn't get a month out of one of them. I brought it right over to health department. They don't want to talk about it.
Well, that
muddy water,
yeah, there you go.
Thank you for calling, thank sir.
Thank you for calling.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, bye-bye now.
Take care.
Bye. So, well, that's, we all, and we do have filtration opportunities, but I would say what the kind of filter you're using, it has to be.
Yeah.
Better, considering the circumstances in which it's being used.
Do you have any cases of schistosomiasis or anything like that down there in Haiti? It's called river blindness. It's a microbe in the water that actually causes people to go blind, and they get leopard spots all over them, and they die.
We've not had that, but there are diseases associated to Africa.
Not in Haiti, not
in Latin America. We've not seen anything like that. Lots of other things. About 80% of the illnesses that people would go to a local clinic in communities where we work is all caused by the dirty water.
Right.
Yeah. So when we go into community and we can give everyone in that community dirty water, and we can get rid of things like diarrhea and vomiting and like the parasites, we usually will also, as we give a filter out, we also give anti-parasitic medicine too.
Great.
So just to kind of help expedite their health.
Right.
Then there's like, we had initially thought we needed to build a clinic in this community, but after everybody got clean water, there's really not a need for that.
There you go. There you
Isn't
go.
That an amazing truth? But it's, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the future of Go Build Love?
So, we're excited about what the Lord has ahead of us. One of the things that the Lord has kind of really laid on our hearts has to do with Latin America. And while if you've ever been to Africa, it's awesome. Like, it's awesome. Like, the people are amazing.
Yeah.
The places are amazing. But if you've ever gotten an airplane to go there, it's really far. Like, it's a really long way to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
lay over in Amsterdam, wait for a couple hours.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. But the reason why I bring up Africa is because Africa is a big part of what they call the 1040 window, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the area of the world where it is believed that most people in this region have never heard of the name of Jesus, let alone the gospel.
Amen.
So the need for not only clean water, but for the gospel is very urgent there. About one third of those people don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we've learned, especially over the last year, as we've worked more and more, both in Honduras and in Guatemala, is that Latin America as a region, we're starting a campaign called The Other Five. And basically what it means is like 5 out of 6 people in Latin America are actually considered unreached or unchurched because while they know who Jesus is, there's churches everywhere in this area, they've never been discipled.
Absolutely.
Never been discipled. Mm. And so they may know who Jesus is, but they are very far from him. Mm. And so while
they understand religion, they understand rite and ritual, they don't understand relationship.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So the Lord has kind of put on our hearts to focus our attention in the Latin America area.
Okay.
And so that's one of the biggest things that we're going to do. We're going to go after those other five that don't know who Jesus is. And and so even this year, we were able to train 108 mission local missionaries through our training process. We're going to launch at the beginning of the new year, this thing that we're calling Kingdom School. And Kingdom School is a discipleship program that we're putting together. It will start out as a workbook, and hopefully we'll be able to get it into a place where it's like online and even more people will have access to it. Working with some really smart people to help us build that out. But the whole purpose of it is to go after those other five. And the best way we know how to do that is to start with the one.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going to start with the one out of that six, and that one is going to help us go after those other five.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So that's what we're praying about, looking to get that off the ground right at the beginning of the new year. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we're at. We're super excited. We're also because of the work that we do and the process that we use, mm-hmm. assessment, distribution, follow-up,
mm-hmm.
We recognize that our process is what is and would be very useful here locally.
Mm-hmm.
We are partnered up with, it's called Care Portal. You can go on our website. Yeah. You can sign up for Care Portal as either a business or an individual.
Or
your church
would be even better.
That
would be great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in our network, we're able to help families that are in need right here through very tangible things. And it opens the door for us to connect people to the local churches, but even more so, be the hands and feet of Jesus, but then also start discipleship relationships with people who desperately need him.
Amen.
So that's kind of what we're working on.
That is cool. I'm just going to shift to Natalie for a minute because we told people your position, director of development. Uh-huh. What do you do? What does that mean? What are you doing to develop?
Yeah.
And how can and
what
and,
a loaded question, David.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, obviously, in what you said so far. We know that development is necessary, but I guess to tell us what you do and what people need to know about what you do.
Okay. Well, yeah. I will go back just a little bit. I came to the Lord when I was 14 years old and, raised my family as I got older. Mm-hmm. I have four children. And when I was a young mom, I peeled out an article that later on in life I could do Red Cross disaster relief. Mm-hmm. And what happened is my kids went on mission. And, I just was wrecked in a good way, to see what they experienced. I had some go to Africa and different countries. And I later started my own mission group and ended up going to Africa like you did, Ed. And again, I was wrecked. And so I have always had this heart for missions and went on to work with Samaritan's Purse and disaster relief. And I also work outside of mission work. I'm a medical laboratory technologist and also a genealogist and lost my job, my regular job, and someone told me about Go Build Love. And so I got to meet with Seth and my heart was just completely moved to be able to do this. And I felt like all along God opened up this position for me to help. So what I do, I'm there to help support. I do grant writing, which is a new thing for me. I do marketing. We'll probably be doing some Facebook and Instagram ads soon. So I'm looking forward to that, just to get the word out and let people know about Go Build Love. I've been on the ground with them in Honduras. So, to be able to experience that and to see firsthand what Go Build Love does. My whole story is I'm just so grateful to be here, and I really believe in this ministry, and I'm just very thankful.
The Lord put them together. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
because I was praying for you when you lost your job.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
Then I see this.
But God opens up doors.
He did.
So you'd be a person that someone might get in touch with if they had a heart to get in, to come alongside of Go Build Love.
Sure,
in terms of building
talk
ministry.
Talk about the fundraiser, too.
Fundraiser. Talk about the fundraiser.
Okay.
Yes.
We do.
Before you do that, I know we've given the website out, which is gobuildlove.org. Is there a phone number that people could use?
Yeah, they can. The phone number is 574-952-4496.
Okay, it's 574-952-4496. Now that will get you who? Will that get you?
That'll go right to Seth.
Right to Seth. Okay, that's your direct line. And
you can go online, like Seth mentioned, we have ways to give, which is probably the easiest and best way to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll go through your church, if you're interested in mission groups and mission trips,
trips
do that. Again, Seth mentioned about the Care Portal. That's something every church in the whole, Martin County, Indian River County, St. Lucie County, Okeechobee, Palm Beach County, yeah. all these counties can get in touch with Seth, and we can get you involved in the care portal because there are needs in our own community. Yeah. So there's a lot.
Yeah. Kind of the idea was while no one in our community obviously needs clean water, what if we were to swap out the filter or clean water with something else that people do need?
Sure.
And that's where the care portal thing
right.
kind of came
from.
Right, I
love this local.
And these are vetted needs, which is really great. Vetted, yeah, they are vetted, and okay, someone goes to direct families and says, oh, they need a car seat for a baby or whatever.
Anything.
So it gives you an opportunity locally to do something to make a difference.
Amen. Yeah.
That is cool.
And you have an upcoming fundraiser.
Yes, tell us about that. We have about 5 minutes.
A couple minutes. I'll let Seth take it.
Yeah, so on Friday, November 8th at 6:30, we're hosting what we're calling the Pursuit of Paradise. It's an island themed. We always like to, like I said, if you know me, I like to throw parties. I love to go to a party, and I love parties. So so it's going to be lots of fun. We have live music, great food. We're going to share some vision, tell some awesome stories. Mm. We've got some other, some surprises that I don't want to tell anybody about.
You have to come.
But if you
get the surprise.
But just so that you know, last year we did like a cowboy themed event, and we brought in someone just to kind of give you an idea of like the stuff that we do, the cowboy themed event, we brought somebody in who custom shaped cowboy hats for every single person, super cool. There's another thing that we're doing this year that's kind of even cooler. We're going to host this at the Flagler Center, downtown Stuart.
Okay.
Right.
6:30, November 8th. You can, again, just go to our website, gobuildlove.org. It'll pop up right when you see it. You can register. Would love to pack the place out.
It is a fundraiser, so there is a cover charge, of course.
Of course, that makes sense.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
And people have an opportunity to go on trips with GoBuildLove. Yes. And I know, I've been on your website, you could actually see every trip and the dates of the trip and the cost. It's all broken down. They can sign up right on your website.
Yeah. Right. We try to make it really easy for people to go on trips with us. Mm-hmm. We take care of everything, all the logistics. We take care of your flights. We take care of your lodging. We take everything.
Too.
The only thing that you folks are required to do is just to do the fundraising for the trip.
Yeah.
And the Lord always provides. And usually it does a pretty awesome thing in and through people when they go. So
make sure your passports are up to date.
Make sure your passports are up to date.
You should always
do that for sure. We're almost out of time. And before we go for today, one thing, I'm going to ask you to pray, Seth.
Yeah, thank you.
For those you serve. But I just want to say to people, you know, God is moving in a way today. I mean, he's chosen to move in this way where things are, just from my view, this when God speaks, it's not so much about, well, it might happen down the road. You know, see that a lot in Scripture, you know, this revelation, but it's going to apply several hundred years from then. But more so what God is doing now is right of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you know, if your heart has been listening to this broadcast, you know, that what Seth and Natalie are involved in with all the team that works with them, and then you replicate this by so many other ministries of this kind.
Yeah.
This is of the moment. This is right now.
Yeah.
And God's people, I mean, other people may come along, but God's people have to be listening and praying.
Yeah.
And God is speaking to you.
Yeah.
He is encouraging. He's telling you to do something with the people who are doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that means stepping out of your comfort zone, and maybe doing more prayer, certainly doing more giving. And with that in mind, Sam, sorry, I just had to put that
in. Can I interject before Seth prays, just very quickly?
Yeah.
Don't forget to vote your faith. Today is the first day of early voting.
That's true. Early voting starts today.
And to be God's hands and feet in the electoral process.
Yes.
Vote
absolutely.
Your faith.
We have 1 minute before the top of the hour.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
awesome.
Seth.
Awesome. Father, we love you, and we're just so thankful that you have given us an opportunity to, first and foremost, just be your hands and feet, just to serve
Thank you.
You. We're so thankful for the cross. We're so thankful for what the cross represents. We're so thankful for what the cross has done in us. And Lord, we're excited about the opportunity of what it allows us to be a part of.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not, even for a moment, take it for granted, that we would be very well aware that you are working, that you are the source, that you are the provider, that you are the purpose, that you are the reason behind everything that we are putting our hearts and our hands to.
Amen.
And so, Lord, as we move forward, as we